I don't know if you really know how many volunteers it takes and staff to put a service together. So many of you just park and come and leave, but there's so much work that goes on through the week and on a weekend. This is our third service. Look at this crowd. And to do that each and every weekend. But would you thank the volunteers who help make all this possible? They are so good. And how many of you think the weather's just been kind of crazy? The weather's crazy. What is going on? We've had all this snow. Have you enjoyed the snow? My niece was here last night. You know, she wants warm weather. She gets out here and it's snowing. Can you believe it?
Fill the reservoirs.
And, sir, settle down just a little here. Brother, you're going to have to chill just a little bit here for me. But if we go to the next slide here, this is a tragedy. This snow is really affecting everything here in California. Do you know what it's like to order a cheeseburger and not to make, they mumble when you can't hear because of all the snow? It's difficult living in Southern California, amen? But how many of you are really glad you live in this state? I mean, I know there's a lot of bad stuff, but you're glad you live here. It's a good place. Well, we're in this series called Built Faith Tough, and we're looking at different ways that God builds our faith. And I want to put on the screen, this is the whole series that we're doing. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how God uses adversity. Whenever you go through a tough time, it's the university of adversity. That's where we really grow, and God teaches us some things that we otherwise wouldn't learn. Last week, my dear friend Mike Bro, how many of you enjoyed Mike last weekend? That guy can preach. And he taught on how God uses people to stretch us, that the importance of being together in community. And today, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 10. And inside your bulletin, there's a sermon note. I want to talk to you today on this subject. It is written. It is written. And the importance of the Word of God. This book that I'm holding is God's Word. It's God's Word. And it's timeless. It's truthful. It's a vast treasure. It's God-breathed. It's sweeter than honey. And it's more precious than gold. It is life. It is love. It is sacred. And in this book, you'll find joy. It's a source of wisdom. And it's the most important book that has ever been written, ever. The Bible addresses one major problem. It's the problem of sin. How many of you have ever sinned? Raise your hand and admit you're a sinner. Anyone not raising their hand, they're the biggest sinner in here. One major problem, sin. There is one major villain in the Bible, and it's the devil. And there's one hero to the story. His name is Jesus. And the Bible has one purpose, and that is to help you meet and know and fall in love with Jesus, and to take what little faith you have and to put it into the grace of Jesus Christ so that you can be saved. Amen? Now, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And so this series, we're talking about faith. We want to focus on that part in this series. I want to zero in and talk about some important elements about faith. But understand as we read through this that one of the most important ways that God builds your faith and God builds my faith is simply through the Word of God. Amen. It's why this book is so important. Yeah. So let's read what it says in Romans 10. couple of verses here. Verse 13, it says, for everyone, say the word everyone, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I want you to turn to whoever you're sitting next to and just say, hey, did you know that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved? Just say that. Go ahead. Say it to whoever you're sitting next to. Now you just witnessed to somebody. You ought to say that to everybody you meet in Los Angeles, wherever you go. Hi, hi, hey, did you know that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved? Just say it to them. Amen. Amen. Verse 14. How then can they call on the one that they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And verse 15 says, and how can they preach unless they're sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now skip down to verse 17, because this is the key verse. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. Now we're going to discuss that today. I've got 3 points. Write them down. Number one, I want to talk first about the object of our faith. Who is it that we look to? We have faith, but who are we putting this faith in? And write this down. The object of our faith is to trust in the Lord. Imagine if you went out and you wanted to get something in the attic or in your garage and you needed a ladder, something up high. So you go get this ladder and you take the ladder and you lean it up against the wall and you start to climb up the steps of that ladder. You are placing your full weight upon the ladder because you believe that this ladder is going to help get you where you want to go without breaking your bones. And in the same way, faith happens when we place our full trust in the Lord, not in money, not in fame, not in some narcotic, not in self. But when you put your faith and trust in the Lord, He will get you where you're supposed to be going. Now, every day in our country, it happens, it's gonna happen today, somewhere in this country today, it happens every day, somebody's getting on a plane and it's the wrong plane. They think they're on the right plane. They fully trust in Delta. They fully trust in the airplane itself. They fully trust in their ticket, and they even put their trust in the person who looked at their ticket that allowed them on the plane. But what happens, someone's sitting in their chair, someone comes down the aisle and says, excuse me, sir, you're sitting in my chair. You go, no, this is where I'm supposed to be. They call a steward over, and they look, they say, sir, you're on the wrong plane. Misplaced faith is a terrible thing. Now, the Bible never tells you to put your faith in your faith, because we believe all these crazy things and we think that what we believe is the right thing. But the Bible never says to put your faith in faith. It tells you to put your faith in God. Romans 10:11 says, as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. I want you to write this down. The object of your faith is more important than the size of your faith. The object of your faith is more important than the size of your faith. The object of your faith is Almighty God. Some people believe that faith can move mountains. That's not true. It's God who moves the mountain. You put your faith in the God who can move the mountain. So many people misplace faith, but faith in faith is nothing but positive thinking. A little boy came home from school. His dad said, son, how'd you do on your math test today? The boy said, dad, I think I flunked my math test. The father said, son, you need to be more positive than that. And the boy said, okay, dad, I'm positive I flunked my math test today. Positive thinking is not faith. Faith in faith is not what matters. Faith in God is what matters. Weak faith in the right object is better than strong faith in the wrong object. Weak faith in God is better than strong faith in any other object. That's why Hebrews 12:2 tells us, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our what? Of our faith. That's where our faith comes from. Yeah. And so I want to encourage you, write this down. I want to encourage you to get to know the Lord. You need to get to know him. There was a young woman who tried to read a book of poems, and she found them dry and uninteresting, and she threw the book aside. Later, she met and fell in love with a man whom she discovered was the author of those poems. She then picked up that book of poems, and to her utter amazement and astonishment, she was mesmerized by those poems. What made the difference? The poems were the same. The difference was she was in love with the author.
That's good.
And so it will be with you. If you know the author of this book, the Lord Jesus Christ, you will dwell in his word.
Yes.
And if you're here today and you think that the Bible is dry and you think the Bible is uninteresting, it's probably because you don't know the author of this book. Get to know him. You'll love everything that he says. If you'll get to know him and love him. Secondly, I want to talk about the origin of our faith. Where does faith come from? It comes from the hearing of the word. Now, this is the main focus of today's message because we're in this series, Built Faith Tough. How do we get faith? How do we grow our faith? How does God build our faith? Again, 2 weeks ago, we looked at God uses trials. Last weekend, being in community helps build our faith. Iron sharpening iron. But the main way that God grows our faith is simply by listening and hearing and reading and understanding the word of God. That's what that verse 17 says. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And it's not just hearing it. It means to read it, to hear it, to understand. The message is heard through the word of Christ. So the object of our faith is God himself. But the origin of our faith, where does it come from? It comes as we read the word of God. I want you to write this down. It's not possible to generate your own faith. You can't clench your fist and grit your teeth and squeeze your knuckles and say, I'm going to generate more faith. No. Faith comes from simply hearing or from reading the word of God. Now, there's a difference between putting faith in the natural realm and having faith in the spiritual realm. Every single person here has faith in the physical realm, the natural realm. It's evidenced by the fact that when you came to church today, you sat down in a chair and didn't even check it out before you sat in it. You just came in, saw a chair, just sat down on it, didn't give it a thought because you have faith in the physical realm. Today you will eat lunch and you will put your faith in the fact that whatever you eat, you just trust it's not gonna kill you. It hadn't been poisoned. You go to the store, you don't even know what's in half that stuff you eat. You just grab it, take it home, fix it, eat it. Yeah. I'm here. That's faith in the physical realm.
Right.
During the pandemic, and any other time that you're sick, you put your faith in a doctor that told you you have a sickness that you'd never heard of before, who wrote a prescription that you can't even read for a medicine whose name you can't even pronounce, which is taken to a pharmacist that you don't even know, who goes and out of 1,000 bottles, he gets something or a liquid or a vaccine and gives it to you. and you go back and get it again and again and again, that's faith in the natural world. Where did that faith come from? CNN? Did you get that from Fox News? MSNBC? Did you learn how to do all that from someone else's opinion, or was it a government mandate, or was it some professor in some university, some textbook that you read? Maybe it was your next door neighbor and you just heard it and said, okay, yeah, and you take this stuff? That's faith in the natural world. My question to you is, where does spiritual faith, supernatural faith come from? Doesn't come from the news. It doesn't come from the government. It comes from reading the Word of God. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message through the Word of Christ. So I want to encourage you, write this down. Start listening to the Lord. Turn social media off. Stop trusting in the news to help you. Stop listening to worldly advice from your ungodly friends, unsaved friends. Stop thinking that you know more than God about what's best for you. Pick up a Bible and read it, learn it, follow it, love it, adore it, apply it, trust it, study it, carry it, memorize it. Listen to this. Romans 10:14, look at it again. How can they call on the one whom they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Dr. Gaylord Kambarami was the general secretary for the International Bible Society of Zimbabwe. And one day he was handing out New Testament Bibles, and a very skeptical man told him, don't give me that Bible. I don't believe in it. And if you do give it to me, I'm just going to tear the pages out and I'm going to roll up some cigarettes. I'm going to smoke them. Wow. Dr. Kambarami told him, well, I'm still going to give you Bible. You can smoke it, but promise me one thing. He said, what's that? Read each page before you smoke it. And he took the Bible. Years later, Dr. Kambarami was at a Christian convention, and that same man came up to him. He was known as the scripture-smoking man, but he had been saved, and he was now an evangelist. His testimony was simple. He would say, I'm the guy that someone handed me a New Testament Bible, and I tore out all the pages and rolled them up and smoked them. He said, I smoked my way all the way through the book of Matthew. I smoked my way all the way through the book of Mark. I smoked my way all through the book of Luke. But when I got to John chapter 3, verse 16, I stopped smoking. And I got down on my knees and gave my life to Jesus Christ, and Jesus changed my life. That was his testimony. It's through the reading and the studying and the understanding of God's Word where God speaks to us. And the more you read this book, the more your faith grows. Martin Luther, the church reformer, once said, the Bible is alive. He said, it speaks to me. It has feet that run after me. It has hands that lay hold of me. Great men and women of faith are those who feed themselves on the Word of God. The number one reason why you lack faith, if you're here and you lack faith, is because you don't read, you don't study, you don't listen to God. Because if you listen to God, you would have faith. Right. Hebrews 4:12, what does it say? Look at these words. It says that the Word of God is living and active. In other words, if you have a library, it's got 1,000 books. They look like they're all dead, just books, but there's one book that's alive and active. It says it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul from the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Verse 13 says that nothing is hidden from God, that God sees all, that he knows all. You see, that's the difference between us and every other creature on this earth. Horses, dogs, cows, cats. You'd be shocked by how many people send me photos of cats. This is just true. Because you know I don't like cats. I love dogs, amen? But so cat lovers send me these pictures all the time. It drives me crazy. You know what you call this? You know what you call this cat? You know what you call this right here? A cat watching church? You know what you call this? It's catechism. Now that cat might be amused by listening to the Bible, but that cat will never understand the Bible. That cat doesn't have an eternal soul. It can't have a relationship with an almighty God, but you and I can. And that's what the Word of God does. This very moment, as we read through the scriptures and as I preach, if your heart has been hardened by sin, God's Word has the ability to speak to you and to lead you and to guide you and to dig down deep and to penetrate between the soul and the spirit. It judges your heart, your thoughts, your attitudes, your actions. And there's a God who sees all and who knows all speaking to you. And he speaks to us every day through the Word of God. And you're able, if you would take the time to read it, even if you're the most skeptical man on the planet, if you would just take time to truly read it and listen to it, God would speak to your heart, even though it's calloused by sin. God would speak to you. Suppose you came down with a sickness and you go to see the doctor and they run every test, and they can't find anything wrong. And they come back to you, they say, we believe that this has something to do with your diet. It has to be with something that you're eating. Well, what did you eat today? And you say, well, I didn't eat anything today. You didn't eat anything? No, I ate nothing. Okay, so what did you eat yesterday? Let's start there. Well, I didn't eat yesterday either. Wait, you didn't eat yesterday? No. You didn't eat today. You didn't eat. You've gone 48 hours. You haven't eaten in the last 48 hours. Well, did you eat the day before? No, didn't eat that day either. Did you eat the day? No. Well, when was the last time you ate? Well, I ate a week ago. A week ago? Yeah. You've had no food for a week. Well, a week ago, I sat down and had one meal. That's all I eat every week. I have one meal a week. Well, no wonder you're sick. And how many people, Christian people, the only time they're in the Word is when they come once a week, maybe if they come to church, they don't even bring a Bible, just come to church and listen for just a little bit, once for a few minutes on Sunday for an entire week. No wonder we're so messed up spiritually and so confused, because we're not feasting on the Word of God. And if you would just get in this book every single day, you'd be surprised at what would happen in your life as you follow God's Word. Amen, I'm telling you. Number three, write this down. Now, here's the operation of our faith. We know that God is the object of our faith. We know the origin of the faith comes when we listen to the Word of God. But what's the purpose of our faith? And it's to do the work and the will of God here on this earth. The purpose of your faith is to connect you to God through his grace, that you might follow the will of God and do the work of God here on this earth. I want you to write this down. Faith is God's way of getting his will done through us. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his instruments. You are not here. I've said this to you 1,000 times. God did not put you on this planet for you. He put you here on this planet for you to do his will. Luke 11:1, the disciples went to Jesus. They said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. We want to know how to pray. Matthew records in Matthew chapter 6 that Jesus said, when you pray, pray as follows. First thing, just say, Father, hallowed be your name. And right after you say that, you say this, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And later, Jesus himself, before he goes to the cross, Jesus is all powerful, he has all authority. Yet before he goes to the cross, what does he pray? He himself prays, "Father, not my will, but thine will be done." And if Jesus prayed that prayer, and he's God's son, how much more should we pray that prayer? Not my will, but thine will be done. The world should not revolve around you. The world should revolve around the Lord. James tells us, and I want you to turn over to the book of James. James tells us that faith without works is dead. In other words, you can say you have all this faith from reading the Word of God, but if it doesn't equate into you doing good things on behalf of God, what use is your faith? And then he says these words in James 1:22, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Verse 23, "Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like," does that say a man or a woman? What does that say? I'm asking you, look in your Bible. What does it say? You don't have a Bible? Well, how are you gonna know what it says? I could put anything up on that screen. What does it say? I can't hear you. Are you sure? It says, "Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says," that's kind of like a guy who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Verse 25, "But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." How many of you would like to be blessed? Well, it just told you how to be blessed. Now, Tony Evans is a pastor in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and he quips, and don't, if you get mad at what I'm getting ready to say, don't write me a letter, you write him a letter. He quips that this had to be written to a man, because a man looks into a mirror, he thinks two things: am I dressed, how's my hair? He leaves, he's cool. But Tony Evans explains further that women have a different relationship with mirrors than men. He said every woman has six mirrors. First thing she does every day, she wakes up, she looks in what's called the bathroom mirror to see how much damage was done the night before. Mirror number two is the makeup mirror, where she looks in that mirror to do all the repairs from last night's damage. Mirror number three, she flips that mirror over to a magnifying mirror. And then mirror number four, she looks and stands in front of a full-length mirror and checks her front and her back. And then mirror number five, she gets into her car and lowers the visor. There's a lighted mirror just to check. And then mirror number six, in her purse, she's got a little round compact mirror just to double check. James would have never written about a woman looking to a mirror and forgetting what she saw. I have to tell all you ladies sitting out here, you are very brave, because one time I looked at a magnifying mirror, it was scary. I will never do that again. But the point is that mirrors don't lie. They show every blemish, and so does the Word of God. And it's the real reason why most people don't read the Bible. They don't like what it reveals. We can deceive each other, but we can never deceive God. who sees all and who knows all. His word reveals every sin that I should avoid. His word is a lamp that shows me where I should walk. His word reveals every flaw and every doubt and every fear that I have. His word points me to being more like Jesus in everything that I do. His word is a rock where you can build your family, your marriage, your home. His word is truth. It is eternal. It's not like culture that changes every day. His word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His book, you can clap at that. His word, as we close, it's not a book of suggestions. It's a blueprint for your life. And the more you read it, turn those news channels, whatever one you look, turn them off. Stop focusing on the social media. Pick up a Bible and start to read it. And know that as you read it, that your faith will grow more and more and more. And the greater your faith, God is going to use you to make a difference in this world for His kingdom. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God wants to use you. How cool is that? Think about that. If Elon Musk called you, somehow he got your number, and your phone was ringing, you looked down, and it said Elon Musk. I thought about this yesterday. This went through my pea little brain. So, what? It's Elon Musk. Hello? And they say, is this so-and-so? You say, yeah, yeah. How'd you get my number? Oh, I got ways. This is Elon Musk. The Elon Musk? Yeah, this is Elon Musk. Okay, why are you calling me? Well, I've heard, he says, that you are very good at design, and you got a good eye for things, good feel, and I'm trying to, I created this Tesla car, but I want to do the next model, and I've heard that you're really good at things like that, and I'm calling if you would come and help me design the next car that's going to change the world. You want me? Yes, I want you. Why, you would be doing somersaults, telling everybody that you could tell, because you just talked to one of the most powerful people who wants to include you on the next big project. And today I want to tell you to forget about Elon Musk. Yes. Instead, I want you to think about the Creator God of the entire universe, the all-knowing, the all-powerful God. And God, through His word, He calls you up and He says to you, hey, I put certain gifts and talents and abilities in you, and I want you to join my kingdom. And He says to you, I want you to help me to change the entire world, but I need you to be a part of this new kingdom. Oh, I tell you, your life and your talents, your faith, your heart, your hands, your voice, your influence, if you would just trust in God and use those gifts to His glory, it's God's way of seeing His will done here on this earth. And my encouragement to you, write this down, is start today, right now, to yield your life to the Lord and to His word. Start today. This book will teach you how to love, teach you how to forgive, teach you how to build your marriage. It'll teach you how to raise a family. It'll teach you how to resolve conflict. It'll teach you how to manage your resources. It'll give you joy and happiness and purpose, and will lead you into making a difference for the kingdom of God here in this world. Amen? Amen. 1983, there was a guy named Steve Jobs, or Jobs, whatever you call him. He's 27 years old, and he's invented this thing called an Apple computer. And he calls up the CEO, the president of Pepsi-Cola, a man named John Sculley. And he's trying to hire John Sculley away from Pepsi to come be the CEO of Apple Computer. And they met. John Sculley says they talked for hours and they never talked about money. That Steve just kept asking him about, come over to this new company, this upstart company, and help us change the world. He said that he said it just like this. He said, John, do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugared water? Or do you want to come help me change the world? And the rest is history, so to speak. And so I say to you today, you want to just keep sitting on the sidelines, going through life, doing insignificant things? Or do you want to jump on board the kingdom of God to help change the entire world for the Lord God? Yes. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. If you're here today and you have a decision, there's a baptistry, there's people over here at these doors. If you're not a Christian, you'd like to become a Christian, or if you have a prayer request, just run right over there. We got some mighty prayer warriors. Pray with you right now. If you're watching on television or the internet, text Jesus to the number on the screen. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for church and all God's people said. Amen. We've come here today to worship, to give, to take communion, and to study the Word of God and to hear from you. And Lord, in this world, there is so much noise. And somehow we've got to learn to turn all these outside entities off and find time to be alone with an open Bible and just read it and listen to what you have to say. The God who sees all, the God who knows all, knows exactly what we need in the depths of our heart. And if we would only take the time and not do it once a week or once a month or twice a month, but every single day, just like we need physical food for this physical body, we need spiritual food for this spiritual body. And so I pray for those here today whose worldview has been shaped by the world's view. Because everything we hear is either coming from someone's left or someone's right. We got to get rid of that mindset and get back to just, what does God's Word have to say about this subject? And as we read, it's living and active and breathing and will penetrate our heart, judge our heart, our thoughts, our words, our actions. And it will grow our faith and cause us to be a part and give us a longing to be involved in the things of God here on this earth. Lord, this could be a turning point for people here today. Thank you that as we worship you, that all fear is gone. And thankful that as we study the Word of God, that we're actually listening and reading your very words. Help us today to fall in love with the author of this book and every day to read this love letter that he wrote to us. God bless every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl who's here today. And bring us back safely next week, we pray. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. Thank you for coming to church today.